Who is here tonight that has never heard Brother Woody Woodson minister before? Anybody's never heard Woody before? Jane, you've never heard Woody? Well, you're in for a treat tonight. You're sitting in the right seat, too. He spits a lot. I mean, you're going to be right there.
Yeah, that's what I try to fill up with water, too.
What I love about Woody is he's genuine. There's no facade. There's no pretend. He has a genuine relationship with God. He's got a genuine word from heaven. And he's not one of those that will play games.
No, not much.
We don't have time for games in these end times, do we? I mean, it's find the target, go straight to the goal, and don't pass any obstructions. We'll go past the obstructions. Don't stop for any obstructions. Yeah. God told me now 3 years ago, you're on track to go into the glory.
Yeah.
Don't get distracted.
That's right.
And so a lot's going on around you. You keep your focus. You keep your intensity. Keep your pressing and hunger for God. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
And God will answer hunger and desire. Well, listen. I don't want to take up any more of Brother Woody's time. Stand your feet with me.
Thank you.
Let's welcome the man of God. Woody, welcome to your second home, third
home. Appreciate it. Thank you. Bless you. Well, if you love Jesus, you can sit down. If you don't love Jesus, stand up so I know who you are. I don't really want to have to stretch my prophetic. No. Everyone has announcements. We do have a letter that we sent to our partners in January, and we actually typed up a lot more of them. It's really in it is how we're praying for the church in America right now. And it's a very crucial time. So there are some letters back there, and if anyone decides to sign up to be a partner, if we don't hear from you, we probably would just stop sending stuff. No big deal. We never take pledges because I started pledging years ago. I'm not against them. It's just found out that some of the places I pledged, when I pledged, they were in faith. They began to get into unbelief, and then they made me feel guilty that I wasn't keeping my pledge. Well, I didn't pledge to unbelief. So, I figure, hey, that's the best way to do things. And if you do sign up, my first audio book is coming out at the end of the month. So you'll actually get a chance to get my first audio book. I am not reading it. My wife is reading it, because if I was reading it, it would be a lot more CDs, because the come on nows and everything like that. So it's the concise version of me. Well, if you've got your Bibles, why don't you go to Job 22? I'll meet you there. It's funny how every year I'm always trying to hear from God on the message of the year. And be honest with you, until I was driving down to Kentucky, I didn't have anything. But I did have a promise for me. And that was so cool. And, about 22 years ago, the Lord told me when I would turn 60, from 60 to 70, I would be the greatest years of my life in terms of ministry. And when he first told me that, I didn't like it, because it was 22 years ago. And I thought, man, that sounded like a far way. Guess what? In January, it starts that. A little bit later this month, January 30th, I will turn 60. And it's one of those birthdays because it has a promise attached to it. I'm looking so forward to turning 60. And it's amazing because my wife is only 29, which, that makes me a stud, by the way. And I married her. We've been married for 35 years, so honestly, I knew her before she was born. Come on, somebody. If you can't laugh, you're not going to like heaven. As I was driving down here, I was listening to Carrie Job, and she's one of the worship leaders that brings it to me. There are certain people where they touch and you hit the glory. Sometimes with Jesus culture, that happens with me. But with Carrie, there are certain songs she sings that it just seems angelic to me. And so I was in my little zone, and the only one that's allowed to interrupt that zone is God himself. when I'm there, and he did. And he began to talk to me about how this year is a year of vindication. He said, I'm going to prove who's right. You know, he said, there's a lot of stuff going on in my name that ain't right. And he said, I'm going to prove who's right. You know, and in vindication by its very nature has in it restoration. It makes up many times for all the years, the wasted years. Vindication has recovery in it. You know, things that were stolen. And God began to show me this also is in Proverbs 6, it's verse 30, it says, if you catch a thief, come on, he has to repay sevenfold. And this is what the Lord told me. He said, you know, the body of Christ as a whole, many of them have caught the thief, but they have yet to press charges, so they're not receiving back. Just because you catch them, you know, I caught a thief one time. The first thing they asked is, do you want to press charges? It was an underage kid that was stealing stuff, had a drug problem. And honestly, I did for his good, you know, because he needed some help. And if I didn't press the charges, he wouldn't have got. And I told him, I said, listen, please don't put him in anything nasty, but at least make sure he gets into a rehabilitation or something, you know, because I wouldn't be helping the kid if I didn't. But, you know, I found out is that many times we need to make a list of what the devil's stolen. Write it all down. And begin to press some charges this year. Because it's coming back. It's coming back. It's coming back. But you know, it's not enough to say it's coming back. You need to know what's coming back. That's why you write it down. Come on. Does this make sense to you? This is going to be a year of vindication. God began to also talk to me about how many people right now are preaching the gospel where there are no steps. You're just there. You know? I mean, they preach a grace worse than you, whatever you do, it doesn't make a difference. You can sow the flesh and still reap the blessings of God, according to what they're teaching. It's foul, by the way. It is. It stinketh. But Psalm 37, verse 23 says, a good man's steps are ordered of the Lord. And I like to put it this way, a good man follows the orders of the Lord, which means he steps accordingly. Come on now. And what God orders, he'll pay for. But how many of you understand, to get to the next level, if you live in a two-story house, you know, I have friends that live in seven-story homes and actually have an elevator. But there are not many in America that have stuff like that. But this guy does, and, you know, every floor is a museum. But anyway. But most of you, if you live in a two-story house, in order to get to the next level, you're going to have to climb some steps. Come on. And I believe that God's going to quicken our pace, but we're going to get, in order to get to the next level, we're going to have to follow in His steps. Come on now. We're going to have to follow orders. And I believe God's taking this church to glory because you're following orders. You know, you're a branch office of the kingdom of God. That's what you are. You're the kingdom of God on earth. Come on now. There's a kingdom of heaven and there's the kingdom of God on earth. Come on. We are the branch office. And in fact, Jesus is constantly saying, open the gates so the King of Glory can come in. He said, you don't open it, I can't come. Because we are the authority on earth. He's the authority under heaven. And the authority, if we're going to operate under His authority, we have to yield to Him, submit to Him. But the bottom line is, He will not do anything on earth until He finds a man to give Him permission. Whatever you permit will be permitted. Whatever you forbid will be forbidden. Come on. We are, and the church is training and reigning. That's what it's supposed to be. We're supposed to learn how to rule. Come on now. That's, you know, that is the number one call of the church, is God's trying to teach us how to reign. Why? Because when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. It didn't even say when the righteous rule, just the church rejoices. It says when the righteous rule, everyone rejoices. Even the wicked will rejoice when the righteous rule, because the righteous, literally, when they begin to rule, it affects a blessing coming, come on everything. Everything. When the righteous rule in this nation, the economy gets better. When the righteous rules in this nation, jobs are created. When the righteous rule in this nation, there's opportunities for everybody. Come on now. And that's what we are here to do. It's time that we begin to see ourselves as co-heirs, joint heirs. And God's trying to get that ruling mentality back in us. One of my favorite shows, my wife turned me on to it, and I love it because it's me. And it's called Restaurant Impossible. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's the most amazing thing. This guy has 2 days to go visit a failing restaurant and turn it around. He has $10,000 to redo the inside so it doesn't look like a pigsty, you know? And he basically, he'll come in, and he doesn't act, most people would be offended at him, but I love him. He'll come in, get in everybody's face, tell them what they're doing wrong. I mean, if they're personality problems, he basically confronts everything. I mean, hard nose, screaming. They're screaming matches between the owners of the restaurant and him. But, you know, when they give in to him, he'll constantly say, if you do this, 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 and this, you cannot fail. He said it works every time. You cannot fail if you will do that. If you don't do that, you're going to fail. Guess what? That's what the Word of God does. You do this, 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 and this. You cannot fail. If the economy fails, you still will not fail if you're in the law of seed time and harvest, because it's a law that says as long as the earth remains. Come on. Does this make sense? It's the rule and the reign of God. See, godly discipline is profitable for all things. When people don't like discipline, they all of a sudden eventually will become unprofitable. Come on. Charles Spurgeon said, the Bible's not the lie of the world, it's the lie of the church. The world does not read the Bible, but the world reads Christians. You're the light of the world. And what God's basically, God wants the church to begin to possess our position. We are the righteousness of God. Act like it. We are joint heirs with Christ. Learn how to rule. Come on. Amen. Your spirit's already holy, so get your outward person. Come on, lined up with your spirit, man. That's what kingdom living is, inside out. You got it all on the inside. Your spirit man's made perfect, and the more as we yield to him, our life is being perfected. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? And as that begins to take place, victory does. And what God says, hey, I've given you faith, and faith is the title deed. He said, I've given the church so much that's failed to claim. I gave them the title deed, but they weren't willing to go after it. They stayed right where they were instead of taking new territory. This is a year we're going to begin to take some new territory. Come on now. This is the year. Come on. We're going to take back what the devil's stolen. And it begins in Job 22, verse 21. And I don't know what King James reads. I know what New American Standard says, because sometimes I'll read something. They'll look at me, where'd you get that? I hope it's close. But I really don't care, because I know this one's right. But it says, yield now and be at peace with him. Thereby good will come to you. I believe right now, I believe it's time that we either, we used to sing a song, and it was the right song, We Surrender All. The problem is the church has surrendered all, but not to Jesus. You know? But if you surrender to God, you'll never surrender to the enemy. You will not give him an inch if you're surrendered to God. You will not. You will not let him have anything if you're surrendered to God. And he said, and it tells you how to be surrendered to him. It tells you to receive instruction from his mouth. You know, the way we surrender to God is being open to hear his voice and hear his word. Receive instruction from his mouth. It goes on to say, when you're surrendered to God, you will decree a thing. I found out when we are yielded to God, heaven comes to earth. Because literally, in yielding to him, we now are the branches. Come on. Come on, he's the vine. That's kingdom life, baby. It's kingdom life. When you begin to yield to him, you begin to rule and reign through him. Come on. Everything becomes subject to you because you're subject to him. Does this make sense? It's going to get stronger, man. You know, literally, in Romans 6:16, it says, whoever you yield yourself to, that's your master. You can yield yourself to sin, or you can yield yourself to righteousness, which again is a correction of some teaching right now, that what you do doesn't matter. Come on. First thing you got to present to God is your body. As a living sacrifice, if you present your body will stay there long enough to get some word in you. Come on now. Then you'll know the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. But the first thing you got to do is present your body, which means you need to have your body in church. Come on now. Don't forsake yourself, the assembly of yourselves together. When you read the Bible, it says some assembly required. Come on now. You need to begin to see that. Hallelujah. And especially when you see the day approaching. We don't need shorter, we don't need less time in church. We need more time in church. Come on. Why? Because we have to receive more grace to go change the world. Grace is God's ability. You know, faith, you know, our faith is our response to God's grace. He said, hey, I've given you this. You say, yeah, I've given you the ability. Well, Lord, I can't do it on my own. That's why you get grace. Yeah. Because the moment you receive grace, you receive his ability. You know, apart from him, you can do nothing. You know what I'm saying on this? See, God says he's doing a new thing. I asked God, I said, God, what is the new thing? He said, it's like the old thing. He said, the new thing I'm doing is the old thing I did. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, it's the kingdom. He said, I started off with the kingdom by giving Adam dominion. And we know that the original sin of Adam is still the greatest sin in the church today. Having dominion, and the enemy comes in, and Adam didn't say the wrong thing, he said nothing. And what you don't forbid is automatically permitted. You gotta understand something. Just because you didn't invite the devil in, if you don't forbid him, he'll take more and more and more and more. That's kingdom authority. That's why even in the Duck Dynasty thing, that was a lot more important of an issue than a lot of people. And nothing got me angrier than hearing preachers, so-called preachers, say, what? No big deal. Why are they making such a big deal? Let me tell you why we're making such a big deal of that. I preach in Canada. And when I go to Canada, in the churches, it's against the law for me to read any scripture concerning homosexuality in the church. You can be put in jail. I still do it. And usually the churches suffer consequences when I leave. But it is against the law. It's a hate crime. And if you don't understand that, guess what's coming to America? And if you think that's hate speech, what about I am the way, the truth, and the life? And no one can come to the Father but by me. What about Jesus is the only name whereby people will say, you're making me feel bad. There are churches around that doesn't want anyone to feel bad. They don't like conviction. You know, I don't know about you. I would feel bad if I never felt bad in church. I would, because honestly, the Bible says if God does not ever correct you, you're illegitimate. Come on now. So we got a bunch of illegitimate preachers that are giving birth to illegitimate children. I'll guarantee you hang around God, he will love you no matter what you do. But guess what? He loves you too much to allow certain things. He'll say, hey, you're better than that. You're better than that. You're better than that. Now, you know, when you blow it, he doesn't go away from you. He just waits for you to come back and say, I'm sorry, I need some help on this thing. You know, and he'll work with you any way he possibly can, just like a loving parent will. Come on. But a loving parent doesn't let a kid have his own way. It will destroy him. Come on. And you don't give him all the privileges at once. You don't give them the car keys when they're two. Well, we just, everyone deserves a car. Come on. Everything works from kingdom rule. Everything's tied to the kingdom of God. All things, come on. You know, all everything. If you seek first the kingdom, everything else will be added to you. The rule of God in your life. That's what it's all about. If you allow God to rule your life, you'll be able to rule, have a ruling attitude towards other stuff. You know, you must be born again in order to see the kingdom. Well, God says, hey, once you're born again, I want to teach you how to reign. Now you're my kid. From this moment on, I'm going to show you how to rule. I'm going to show you how to reign in this life. Come on now. I'm going to begin to reveal to you the authority you have. I'm going to show you all that I've given you. And I've given you the Holy Spirit to reveal things that are already yours. And as you reveal, as you see them, you go to a next level. Come on now. Everything's by revelation knowledge. How many do you know that whoever controls the ideas control the wealth? My son's huge on that one. You know, he's got a think tank corporation now. 20, but it was 19 when he started it. And you know, it's like, he said, Daddy, he said, it's kind of like Joseph in the Bible. All of Egypt's wealth had to be handed over to him. Because he's the only one that had an idea what to do with it. He said, Daddy, I'm getting ideas in the wealth of the wicked. They're all coming to me. They're all coming to me. They're all coming to me. They're being drawn to me. I don't even have to seek them out. They're seeking me out. Come on. I believe that that's what God wants to do in every realm. Jesus began his ministry by not just preaching some religious thing. He would say, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Repent, there's a new ruler in town. Come on now. I'm going to teach you guys. If you'll yield to me, you can enter into this kingdom. And he said, I'm here to introduce you to my daddy, and he'll become your daddy. Come on. And everything goes back to who's your daddy. How many of you understand that? Jesus started preaching the kingdom in Acts 1:3 at the very end of his life. He spent 40 days teaching nothing but the kingdom of God. After he was raised from the dead. How many of you understand the last thing you would leave with people is the most important message? And for 40 days straight, he taught nothing but the kingdom. You know, the Apostle Paul in Acts 28, the last 2 years of his life, he was locked up in prison, but they were bringing the people to him where he was in a rented quarters, but he's still under guard. And it said all he did for 2 years straight, the last 2 years of his life, was teach on the kingdom of God. There's a lot in there, baby. There's a lot about ruling and reigning. There's a lot about it. You know, the enemy will make you think that you're not welcome at the throne. You're destined for the throne. You're already seated in heavenly places far above. Come on. God said, hey, as I rule in heaven, I want you to rule on earth. He said, because if you'll rule properly, it will reveal me. In fact, God is so strong about that in Isaiah 45, and he says, command the work of my hand. He said, what I accomplished on Calvary, I want you to command it. Command healing to be. You can command prosperity to be. You can command anything that's your inheritance, you can command it. You can call it. It's already yours. Calling things that are not yet here as though it is. Whole different ballgame, man. If we realized who we were, we would not allow the enemy to keep us from things. You know, I've told a story years ago. I was going up to see my dad, and my dad's law firm owned one of the floors in the Empire State Building. You know, my dad was a very well-known attorney. And he had just hired a new security guard. I think it was Barney Fife or somebody. But, you know, he was representing a lot of infamous clients at the time. And I back in those days, I just came from a ball game, and I had shorts on. I had a tank top. That's when I could wear a tank top and without it being... Come on, I can look good instead of having people having to go to counselors after they saw it. You know, that was the perfect V, not the inverted V days. But I remember going up to the floor, and I tried to get off the floor, and the security guard stopped me because it was a high security floor. And he looks at me, he said, you're not welcome here. You know, that's what the devil will tell you. The devil will tell you, you're not welcome. You don't understand. You don't look right. You don't perform right. Come on now. You know, you've been acting ugly. Now you're not welcome at the throne anymore. Come on. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. It is. And this guy came up and he said, you're not welcome here. And I looked at him. I said, yes, I am. He said, no, you're not. And he actually pulled his gun on me. And I started laughing because when I get nervous, I laugh. That's why I got in a lot of fights growing up. So I looked at him. I said, I called him Barney. He didn't like that. I said, is the bullet in your pocket or is it in the gun? Barney. And he looks at me. He said, you need to leave now. You need to leave now. I said, you don't know who I am. He said, I don't care who you are. I said, yes, you do. He said, you got to leave now. And he got real nervous. I said, when I tell you who I am, you're going to get me a jelly donut and a cup of coffee. He got angrier. He's screaming at me. And I'm laughing. And that's really not a good combination. You know? And he says, you got to leave now. He said, I'm warning you. And I said, you don't know who I am. And he said, I don't care if you own this place. The moment I heard that, I had my answer. I said, I do. He said, you do what? I said, read my lips. I own this place. Now you tell my daddy, I'm here. And he asked the famous question, who's your daddy? Come on now. And the moment I mentioned my daddy's name, he straightened up, put his gun away, said, how do you want your coffee? I said, blueberry donut too. He said, yeah, you got it, sir. And, you know, everything changed. Come on. Why? Because my daddy owned everything. Guess what? Any kid knows whatever is their daddy's, theirs. Come on now. You understand that. You know, you don't ever have to beg. This is the problem in the church is we know how to be servants. We don't know how to be sons. We know how to beg underneath the table. Oh, God, please, if you have a crumb. You know, if I went home and you know we had a cook in my home that you know could cook. Thank God, my mom couldn't, but she could. That's when my dad got. He had mercy on us and hired her, but I never went home at night. And when it was time to eat, I never went under the table. Oh, Daddy, please, can I have a crumb? He would have smacked me. What's wrong with you, boy? Come on. God looks at most of the church world, and that's the way he looks. What is wrong with them? What is wrong with them? I've given them the kingdom. I've given them angels. I've given them servants. I've already blessed them with every spiritual blessing. All things are theirs. Come on. What is wrong with this bunch of people? Come on. You know, when we begin to rise up on the inside, everything begins to change. And see, once you begin to realize what's yours, then you're in for the fight of your life. When you realize healing's the will of God, you're still going to have to fight for it. You know, last night, my niece called me up, and she's got my little, I'm the godfather. I always wanted to be a godfather. I used to act like a godfather, but I am the godfather of their little 6 month. But she called me up, and she was all upset because she went to a routine dental appointment, and they found a spot on her jaw, a dark spot. And, you know, the doctor acted really scared, the dentist, and said, we got to get you into an MRI as soon as possible. In fact, when she went in today, there was no room, but the dentist called in and said, this is an emergency. So they actually had her in to take the thing. You know, she's whooped cancer a couple of times. So it was, you know, I mean, but the difference is the first time she fell apart, the second time she was better. This time she said, we're going to fight this, aren't we? I told her, I said, the battle's over. It's over. It's a done deal. I said, I don't even believe you're going to have to fight very long on this one at all. And when they went in today and they took scans from every angle, there was nothing there. But she learned to fight. She learned, hey, I got a right to be healed. I got a right to be healed. I got a right to be healed. I'm not going to buy that thing anymore. I'm not going to even allow the fear. I mean, the fear came. She learned how, no, I don't submit to it anymore. Come on now. And every one of us, that's part of ruling and reigning, taking every thought captive. Why? Because you're a king. The devil will try to get you to think as a pauper, as a beggar. Trying to say, well, God, you know, and making you think God's mean. He's already given you everything. Come on. He purchased your healing 2,000 years ago. Purchased your prosperity 2,000 years ago. Literally paid for all your sins 2,000 years ago. That doesn't mean you don't repent when you mess up. It just means you know, thank God, you don't have to wonder, is he going to forgive you? He's already paid for that. Come on. And that repositions you. And, you know, and I agree with some certain people. When you sin, you know, just because you sin does not mean that your spirit becomes unrighteous or you wouldn't be born again. But when you do sin, you open the door to your soul and to your body. And the reason you repent is because if you what's before you know it, the enemy will begin to take more and more and more advantage, either physically or in the mental and, come on, emotional realms. It gives entrance. You shut the door. And if people don't watch it long enough, they'll walk away from God. And that's when your spirit gets darkened again, when you actually reject him. Now, he never rejects you. He never forsakes you, but some people do totally walk away from him. Then they need to ask him. They have to reintroduce themselves in a sense, not that he's ever forgotten. Come on now. Does this make sense? See, you know, in fact, Philip wrote a new book on grace. Have you read that yet? I actually read it because I was reading some other book and got me so upset with some of the theology, I picked up his and I liked it better. It's an excellent book. It's surprisingly good, and that's not negative. It's just really good. Yeah, and guess what? I agree with Mark. It's really good. See, the kingdom life, it says in Acts 14:22, through much tribulation you enter into the kingdom. So you can be born again and see the kingdom. Once you start walking towards it, there'll be a test. And it won't be from God, but the enemy will try to keep you from what's yours. The enemy's always trying to keep you from what's yours. The enemy will always try to get you to take the flesh way out because your inheritance is in the spirit. Come on now. Go to a church that doesn't require anything, and guess what? You'll always be mediocre at best. You know? It's true. Have you ever noticed mediocre people are always at their best? See, think about that. At ORU, I used to sit down with a young man at the time. We both were young at the time, named Miles Monroe. Me and Miles Monroe, we were like the weirdos on campus because we would sit for hours talking about the kingdom of God. That's all we would talk about, the rule and the reign of God and how you apply it to every area of society. And it was the coolest thing because not too many people. In fact, I wrote a book. My senior paper at Oral Roberts University is When Heaven Invades Earth, the Kingdom of God. And, you know, that was my senior paper. And when I started preaching the kingdom, when I got the paper, my theology professor gave me an A and said, don't ever preach this stuff. He said, I agree with everything you say, but the church is not ready for it. And I tried. That was like mid-70s, late-70s. I tried, and I was shut down every time I preached the kingdom. It wasn't even close. But you know, this is a different time now. Come on now. It's a message whose time has come. In fact, without the kingdom message, nothing's going to change. We can't change the world without the kingdom message. Come on now. Without the understanding that we rule, we reign, that we honestly been given all authority, all power, that we're already carrying revival. You don't even have to pray for revival as much as you need to release it. Come on. You know, you have resurrection power. You have the same spirit as Jesus and the authority he had, he put on you. It's amazing what you got. Does this make sense? And you know, some of my friends, when they heard me preach the kingdom, they said, you sound just like Bill Johnson. So I bought one of his books, and the first book I ever bought of Bill Johnson was When Heaven Invaded Earth. And when I looked at it, I said, he stole my material. Well, it wasn't my material, but have you ever read something and said, I could have written that one? I should have written that one because it was so much my DNA. Come on. You know, because that's why I want to see people win. I am, you know, God told me years ago, he said, the problem with the church is they're teaching people how to be good losers. They're teaching people how to cope instead of how to conquer. Can't we all get along? No. That was the answer. Come on now. No, 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 no. I found out something. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. You know, there you're going to have to change society, you're going to have to hit it head on with the truth. Come on now. You're going to have to hit it. You know, most of us, when we were changed, we didn't like it the first time we heard it. When someone got in our face and told us the truth. Come on. Made us feel uncomfortable. In fact, made us angry. But, you know, the reason we're here today is someone made you angry. Yes. Come on now. Someone confronted you. Someone said, hey, I'm not going to let you just die. You're going to live and not die. And you're going to serve God whether you like it or not. Because I'm praying for you. Yes. Come on now. Amen. Praying mamas, praying grandmas. Does this make sense? See, the whole earth is begging us to wake up. Waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. See, the kingdom's the only message that will bring Jesus back. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world. Matthew 24:14, then the end will come. When you start preaching the kingdom, authority comes. Matthew 10:8, what did he do? He sent out his disciples, said, preach the kingdom. He said, cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead. Freely you received. What did you receive freely? The kingdom. Freely give it. Announce the kingdom and then show it. Come on now. I remember I was preaching in prison one time and, you know, I'd come into this, I think it was a medium security. It wasn't the maximum security. I had to do death row too, but in this one, it was the medium security. But when I was preaching there, a guy came in, and, you know, obviously he was a Muslim. He wasn't happy I was doing that, but he wanted out of his cell. So, he came up there. Well, it was visitation day, and I at that particular prison, I guess he had, his little girl had showed up. So he actually brought her in when he heard I was in there. And I'll never forget that, because he didn't sit for the sermon, but he walks in carrying this little girl. And he comes up to me, he said, "I don't believe your God's real." He said, "My daughter has asthma, and she only has one lung. You know, you say your God is a healing God. Show me." And I pulled back for a second, because I was trying to check with the Holy Ghost. You know, "Okay, Lord, now what do we do?" He said, "Do it." I said, "Do what?" He said, "Speak to the girl's body. I've given you power. I've given you authority. I will anoint your lips to be my lips." He said, "If I was here in the flesh, what would I do?" I said, "You probably would give her another lung, take away the asthma." He said, "Do it." So I said, "Give me the girl. I want to hold her." So I began to hold her, and I just began to command the lung to be, command the asthma to go. And she was actually having trouble breathing. And all of a sudden, she just begins to breathe deeply. And it's just smoothly. And she's crying. And she said, "Daddy, I can breathe." And I looked, and I was going to look the man in the eye, except for he was already on his face. I said, "You ready to receive Jesus?" He said, "Yes, yes, I am." And God replaced the lung. God took away the asthma, because the kingdom came. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, on earth, on earth." Let's believe for some evidence this year. Let's believe these signs. Let's be believers and believe signs are going to follow us. Come on now. These signs will follow them that believe. Lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. You don't have any problem getting excitement when that happens. In fact, what did Jesus say? He said the two end time messages are the kingdom and faith, because they go together. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? If he finds faith on the earth, he will see a people demonstrating the kingdom of God. Come on. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. If you believe, you'll see it. In the revelation of the kingdom, what does it say? Pray this way. I love the end of the prayer. "For thine is the kingdom and the power." Because the kingdom of God's not a mere word. It's in power. "And the glory." He said, "Listen, when you begin to preach the kingdom, power and glory are attached to it." Power and glory are attached to the kingdom, because it's attached to the king, and he's the king of glory. And when you begin to preach the kingdom, he comes down, because it's a message he really likes. I mean, he watches over that word to perform it, because he said, "That's what I'm doing right now. I'm restoring my rule on earth. And when you preach this stuff, I got to get in the middle of it." Come on now. And it works in every area. It works in the business realm. It works, you know, come on. You know, my son's doing it in the business realm. I have people right now who are making movies, and now they're producing some clean stuff. They've learned, hey, we don't have to sit around and just become legalistic. All we got to do is produce something better. Come on now, because we can produce something that's anointed and well done. Come on. Does this make sense? You know, one of my friends produced a movie recently called The Christmas Candle. I don't know if anyone saw that. Great movie. Great movie. And, you know, Tony Romo was in it, but other than that, it's still a great movie. You know, But see, God is beginning to raise up people with vision. He's beginning to give revelation knowledge. He's going to give us dreams. He's going to give us vision. He's going to give us power. The message of the kingdom is the revelation that the king is our father. You know, our father, our father, our father. You know, like father, like son. Like father, like daughter. You got the DNA of your father. Come on, somebody. Amen. You know, you start beginning to recognize, hey, you're a king. People ask me, what do you do? I said, most of the time, what I do is speak to kings. Kings and priests, that's it. I deal with both of them. But guess all of us are both of them. He's made us kings and priests unto our God. He's made us rulers down here. He's actually said, hey, no matter what you, no matter what position you have in your office, you rule it. Think about that. When I worked with Farmers Insurance Group, that was a shock to my system because I spent a couple of years, basically our youth group exploded. And we had one of the larger youth groups in America. But because of I came into the faith message, and they didn't fire me. I had to leave. I had to make them. I said, well, I cannot keep correcting at night what you're preaching in the morning. And they knew I was doing it. But because I was having so much success, and they liked me as a person, I said, please, let me go. You know? But then I ended up working with Farmers Insurance Group. I walked into an office of 43 people, and I forgot how heathen talk. I came in there, everything was a cuss word. People were screaming. There was so much strife. There was so much, you know. I mean, it was just a mess. And I remember I walked in that office, and I was slapped in the face by the atmosphere. And I looked, and underneath my breath, I knew what I had to do. So underneath my breath, I served notice. I said, devil, I rule this place now. There will be no strife. This place will be full of peace. As long as I'm here, peace is going to rule. Peace is going to reign. All strife, all bickering is gone. I take authority over that. And now, I didn't get on the desk and scream it. I didn't say, hey, everyone look at me. I am the authority. Because I would have been kicked out. Or they would have taken me away. But underneath my breath, I took authority over that. And for 6 months, the whole office, it was fine to work there. As long as I was there, I had a 1 week vacation at the end of 6 months. I left. When I came back, my secretary ran up to me. It said, it seemed like when you left, all hell broke loose. I said, it did. She said, it seemed like when you left, peace left. I said, it did, but I'm back. I said, that won't happen when I'm here. It won't happen. It won't happen. And she, that was one of the things eventually how I led everyone in the office to the Lord, is they knew the difference when I was in the house and when I wasn't in the house. Why? Because God called me to rule and to reign. Come on now. And it doesn't just work in church. It works everywhere you go, praise God. Literally, we can shut the mouth of the lion. We can shut the devil's mouth. We can take authority over that stuff. You're the light that dispels darkness. Don't hide it. Use it, praise God. God's given you weapons of warfare, and they're not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Come on. Jesus basically said, it's not me but the Father. And you know, the message of the kingdom is no longer us but Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus is here. He's in me. You brought him. Come on now. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The kingdom message is that we're not just didn't get a new start. We got new DNA. Before we were saved, we were mere men. I remember years ago, I walk around saying, God, I'm just human. He said, don't ever say that. Because that was my excuse not to do things. I'm just human. Or when I blew it, I'm just human. And the Lord kept saying, don't say that. I say what? He said, just human. I said, but I'm just human. He said, don't say that. I said, you know. Go on. And I heard the Lord say, he said, you're not just human. You were human. But when you receive me, you're still human, but you got me on the inside of you, so you're not just human. Come on now. You got to understand something. We are not just human. We're carrying God Almighty on the inside of us. We are not. God told me years ago it's not natural for such supernatural people to act so naturally. How long do you want to live as a mere man? That's what carnal Christians do. They can't bring heaven to earth. Now, many of them will make it to heaven, but they won't have much to show for it. All their works will be burned away because it was, you know, fluff. But there's a new bunch. There's a bunch that's a manifest Christ, manifest Christ, manifest the glory. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And God said, I'm coming back for a glorious church. That's a church that's manifesting, manifesting. Everywhere they go, they're manifesting him. Come on. And you know, you begin to draw off the anointing that's already here. That's when you begin to operate in the kingdom. All the anointing that's ever been is already on the earth, and then there's an anointing for this generation. So you literally are drawing off the anointing that's in the ground. Redigging ancient wells with your faith, saying it's still for us. And you're also saying, okay, God, that new stuff that's just for our generation. That's why I said that the final culmination will be the former and latter rains coming together. Every year I preach a week at the campgrounds where Catherine Kuhlman used to preach in Franklin, PA. Preach in the same pavilion she started her ministry at. Actually lived on the campgrounds there. I love it. I can honestly still feel the anointing. You know, I've gone to that place near Paris, Kentucky, where they had the revival. You get on the grounds there, and it's still a presence. It's still residue. Come on. I love that. I said, God, I'll take some of that. I'll take some of that. Some of you need to get hungry and say, I'll take some of that. I'll take some of that. Come on. See, we're a new creation. Hallelujah. And the new creation, the kingdom reality is as he is, so are we. Not even as he was, as he is. You think about that. It wasn't even as Jesus walked on the earth. That's why I think he says greater works. I think he says greater works because it's not even as he was on the earth. It's after he literally split hell wide open. Got the keys back. Send it on high. In his resurrection form, he said, so are you. Man, that's amazing. How many of you understand God can't reign unless we do. If we don't reign, God doesn't reign. That's why he talks about how we'll reign in this life as we're submitted to God. You know, God can't get rid of devils unless we do. I'm going to say something else. God can't heal the sick unless we go about laying hands and commanding. He needs a body for his will to be done. He needs a body. He's already done it in heaven, but he needs a body on earth. That's who you are. Come on. You know, this is amazing. See, God is looking for faith. Because faith pleases God? Because it allows God to be God. It releases him in his fullest. God's will not be done on earth unless we exercise faith. And only faith brings the kingdom. Only, and it's motivated by love. But you got to believe that it will manifest. You got to believe, come on. I believe we're going to come to the place where we can command prosperity. It will come into our hands. You know, I think that's one of the things that Brother Leroy got. He understood kingdom. Money cometh to me now. He understood that. He understood that was kingdom talking. Money cometh to me now. Come on. I remember years ago, you know, we were listening to Brother Leroy, and I was going on vacation. I was tired, and I didn't want to do, you know, have you ever been tired? You just don't want to do stuff. And I'm driving the car, and Joey was like 7. He said, "Daddy, I want you to say with me, money cometh to me now." I said, "Son, it's all right. Vacation's paid for." He said, "Say it, Daddy." I said, "Money cometh to me now." He said, "You don't really act like you mean it." He said, "Daddy, say it." I said, "Money cometh to me now." He said, "Let me show you how to really say it." And he shouted, "Money cometh to me now." And I'm thinking, that's cute. That is cute. I'm glad he caught that. We stop. And there was a midway point from Tulsa where they had the biggest, world's largest McDonald's on I-44. So we stop to use the restroom. That's where my wife usually stops at every restroom. So we can rate them. But we stop on that one, and we get out of the car, and I see this white Lexus, and I think, that looks like Jim's Lexus. It's a friend of mine. It's a missionary friend, but a Lexus dealer actually leases him, gives him the lease car. And so I thought, oh, there's... So I saw him coming out of the bathroom. He had never met my son yet, and I went up to Jim, and I said, "This is my son, Joey." And Joey, you know, sticks out his hand, and Jim looks up and says, "I'll do that, Lord." And he pulls out a $100 bill, hands it to him. He said, "Son, God told me to give you the money." He looks at it, he said, "Thank you." He said, "I knew it, but thank you." And he looks at me. He said, "Daddy, he didn't give you anything because you didn't say it." And be honest with you, some of you, you're upset with everybody else. You ain't saying it. Come on. You can have whatsoever you sayeth. Come on. See, God has no influence apart from the church. We are the gateway of heaven on earth. Come on, we are literally, that's what it was saying. And when it talked about the ladder of heaven, when they had the vision, Jacob had the vision of the ladder, he when God revealed, he said, "This is the gateway of heaven." When you open the gates, you decide what comes in, you decide what doesn't come in. You open the gates to God, you shut the gates to the devil, you are the gatekeeping church. Come on. Lift up your heads. Begin to recognize it. Open the gates. Does this make sense? And the kingdom only advances as we advance. That's why it says God takes no pleasure when we shrink back. Because when we shrink back, his kingdom shrinks. It's not about you. It's about the kingdom of God. It's not about you. And the whole message of the kingdom is we don't fit in, we take over. Like starts as the little seed, but that seed grows and everything comes under it, comes under it, comes under it. See, that's what's going on. But my son, he has a seed that's growing. And now he's beginning to get some companies coming under the seed. Corporate presidents are beginning to recognize something going on. Come on. He said, "Daddy, before long, I'm going to be the umbrella." Come on. People will come underneath my tree. Come on. God gave him the ability. He's using it for the glory of God. And it's a transference of wealth so that he can become a paymaster to make things happen. You have to totally buy into the kingdom, though. You cannot do it halfway. When you find the kingdom, you have to sell everything. And be honest with you, I question if you've changed kingdoms, if you haven't changed kings. I have a lot of people who say, "Well, I'm saved, but you know, I still do what I want to do." I said, "Well, then obviously you're not serving the king." Come on. Does this make sense? And the kingdom is the only place of stability. When everything else is shaken, we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And when the shaking takes place, those who cannot be shaken are the ones who are going to profit from the shaking. When you have a kingdom mindset, let me show you what takes place. My son, we've taught him to have a kingdom mindset. Several years ago, he walks into my office. Strange look on his face. He said, "Daddy, I've been reading in the last days that there is going to be earthquakes and famines, and it says the whole earth is in travail." I said, "Yes, son, it does." So he said, that means there's going to be real weird weather patterns, aren't there?" I said, "Yes, son." He said, "I can make money off that." That's when he designed his weather app. He said, "Daddy, I can do that." And you know, more and more people are coming. And basically, most of the meteorologists are nesting under his tree right now. And he said, "Daddy, that's just one of the things." He said, he could just see. He said, that's easy enough. See, God will give kingdom ideas. How many of you are ready to get some kingdom ideas? How many of you are ready to rule and to reign in this life? How many of you are ready to actually open up? You know, let's be the branch office. You know, let's show all this whole region what God's like. Come on now. Why don't we operate as little Christ? You know, Christians. Well, why don't we start manifesting everywhere we go? Just manifesting. I've been around demonic people. I've watched them manifest. Why can't we manifest? Come on now. Hey, you know, let's begin to manifest the glory of God. Let's shock people in grocery stores, you know. Several years ago, this is one of my last stories, I think. Several years ago, I'm minding my business in the express lane. About ready to check out, and this lady behind me says, "My head is killing me." And I felt like saying, "No, it's your mouth," but still. But that's what she said. She said, "My head is killing me." I didn't even think. Yeah, there are times I'm just in my little realm. I went and I just tapped her on the head to be healed. Well, power of God hit her. She got laid out right there. And, you know, there are people lined up, and they're getting, "Oh, we need to get help." I said, "She just did." She got up. She started shaking. She said, "No more pain." She said, "What'd you do?" I said, "Well, you said your head's killing you. God told me to lay hands on the sick. They'll recover." I heard that. I just thought, in Jesus' name, be healed. You know, I didn't think about it. I probably wouldn't have done it that way, you know. I was working the claim with Farmers Insurance Group. And this lady, she said, "Oh, my back is hurting so bad." And I'm actually just talking to her husband. And I don't do this unless you know it's God. I turned around and hit her in the back. And she's on the floor. And her husband looks at me and said, "You hit my wife." I said, "Yeah, I did." She said, why did you hit my wife?" I said, "God told me to." Now, I'm sure he wished God would have told him that he could hit. No. But again, she got up and all the pain. I didn't know how badly hurt she was. But it was just almost when you're attached to God, you'll say things that will come out of your mouth and think, "Where did that one come from?" They'll be just the right thing at the right. You become the gateway. God wants to do something. Who's dumb enough to, you know, come on, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, he uses the foolish things. Amen. And the next thing you know, you'll just be flowing in God. Sometimes you don't even know it, but they know it. You're so supernatural, whatever. You're combined, and sometimes you don't even know what you're saying. But they know it. And that's when you're so connected. It's just a lifestyle. The kingdom becomes a lifestyle. It's not an event. It's a lifestyle. Everywhere you go, there's evidence the king was there. These signs follow. There's evidence that something good is coming. Come on. When you walk in, God walked in. You know? You can get to a place where honestly, it's like, wow, I mean, it used to be I was overwhelmed all the time. A lot of times I'm not overwhelmed, but what we're seeing is overwhelming. I said, God, that just, I used to shake violently. And we'd see those type of manifestations. Now it's like, no big deal. He said, yeah, that's right. You know why? It's normal to you now. It's not the breakthrough moment. Now it's a lifestyle. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. I want every head bowed, no one looking around. I'm